Good morning, everyone. My name is Kevin. I'm part of the pastoral team here at The Meeting Place. I want to welcome you here this morning. So, in continuing our series about mentorship, one of the most dramatic pieces about mentorship is the ability to ask questions. Have you been asked a really good question at some point? Something that made you pause, made you think, made you maybe entirely change the course of where you were going, because someone asked you a really good, pointed question. Good questions are powerful. I can think of one particular instance. I've been asked lots of good questions in my life, but one particular instance is I was deciding whether pastoral ministry would be something that I would want to do. So before I went to school, some mentors of mine, including my youth pastor at the time, and some elders of the church, and some other people who I trusted, we got together in one room, and we spent 2 hours together. And the point of the meeting, it was called a discernment meeting, the point of the meeting was to decide whether this was something that I should do. And there was lots of encouragement shared and amazing words of affirmation, but some of the questions they asked were absolutely powerful. They didn't take for granted that I had the right motivations. They didn't take for granted that I really knew what I was getting into. They didn't take anything for granted, and they simply asked powerful, powerful questions. Things like, why do you want to do this? I mean, it seems like a really basic question, right? But why do you want to pursue this? What do you think this will mean for your life? Have you thought about those kind of questions that I didn't have easy, immediate answers to? I actually said, can I sit on that one for a while and get back to you? Good questions are powerful, and they help shape how we view our lives. Well, maybe you've never done something as formal as a discernment meeting. When you've been trying to decide whether you want to go off on a certain venture or project or business or whatever. But think about a time maybe when you were sitting with a friend over a cup of coffee and they simply took the time to ask the question that needed to be asked. The question that you might even have wanted them to ask, but you didn't know how to ask them to ask you the question. The kind of question of, so what is this going to mean for you? Or have you thought about this? Is that really what you want to be doing? The kind of questions that you know people are invested in you and they care because of the kind of questions they ask. It's not easy questions of like, how are you doing? And things like that. They dig beneath the surface. Because good questions expose what's underneath. I think of a question kind of like a shovel, right? A shovel, the point of a shovel is to dig in and to expose what's underneath, to move the dirt out of the way, to move the confusion out of the way, and to get at what's underneath. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort, you know, because the dirt's heavy, but you got to move it out to get to get to what you want underneath. Good questions expose what's underneath. And Jesus himself, I think, is the supreme example of what it means to ask really, really pointed questions. And he does it in ways that surprise me all the time. I'm amazed at the kind of questions that he asks and how skillfully he seems to ask them. In my mind, Jesus is the consummate question asker, the person from whom we can learn so much about asking questions. His questions challenge the people that he's interacting with. They read between the lines. They move away the confusion. They allow the people that Jesus is dealing with to see things deeper, to see things clearer. Jesus' questions prompt self-examination, and they direct the person who's being asked the question to core issues that matter deeply in their lives. And all of these things and more are evidenced in the questions that Jesus asks those who follow him and those who want to follow him and those that he comes in contact with. I'm going to take a look at two particular stories that demonstrate this. There's lots of stories of Jesus asking questions, but two particular stories. The first one in Mark chapter 8. That's page 690 in these black and orange Bibles, if you have one of them. If you have your own, you'll know what page number it's on. Mark chapter 8. Just a few short verses, 27 to 30. Jesus and his disciples went walking on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" His disciples replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others, well, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You're the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. So, if you read the book of Mark from the beginning up until this point, you'll have encountered lots of miracles. There's stories of Jesus healing the blind man. There's story even in Mark chapter 9. So I don't know how long before this little exchange that they have where Jesus is asking the questions, how long before that Jesus fed 4,000 men plus their wives and children out of, I think it's like 7 loaves that wouldn't be much bigger than a Kaiser roll and a few fish that this little boy had in his lunch pail. There's a whole bunch of miracles that Jesus has performed that are leading up to this. So the disciples have a front row seat on what God is doing in their world. And who knows what they thought about it, but the passage opens up. So they were just walking along. They were walking along from one place to another. They spent probably about this time, about a year with Jesus. They walked everywhere. And as they were walking along, something they normally did, there was no agenda, Jesus simply slips in a question. Good questions get the conversation started. Good questions open up the conversation. He simply asks them, "Hey, who do people say that I am? I mean, you've witnessed me, you've witnessed my miracles, but you have your ear to the ground. You've been talking to a whole bunch of different people. Who do people say that I am?" And it's a very non-threatening kind of question. Simply says, "Hey, report on what you're hearing." And the disciples open up. They say, "Well, some people say, well, you're Elijah or one of the prophets." They have no problem simply telling Jesus the answer to the question. It's just chit-chat as far as they're concerned. But it's important because good questions, they open up the conversation. It's like if you were to go to a party and you made a beeline for someone and you said, "Tell me your deepest, darkest secret," like right off the bat. Right? Like that's not how it works. You have to engage in small talk. You know, what do you do? And, you know, where do you live? Have you always lived in the city? That kind of thing. What kind of travels have you done? And the questions, even though they may seem mundane, they open up the conversation. They're not deep, but they're necessary. And Jesus here, I think, is doing that very thing. He's just slipping in some regular questions just to get the disciples talking. But this is where I think Jesus shows how good of a question asker he is, because he moves on and he uses a kind of question that makes it personal. Good questions make it personal. Because all of a sudden he says, "Okay, yeah, I understand who people say that I am, and that's great. But you yourselves," the question that Jesus asks is actually very emphatic. He said, "You yourselves, who do you say that I am?" And all of a sudden, it switches from surface engagement immediately to the personal. Jesus demands a personal response. And I wonder how long they thought about it. I mean, it only actually records Peter's response. And knowing what we know of Peter in other places, he probably said it without even thinking about it, because he's that kind of guy. You know, he's got a mouth that's shaped like a foot, because he just says stuff all the time like that. He says, well, you're the Messiah. What did the other people think? Maybe they just let Peter become the spokesperson for them. But it demanded a personal response. They actually had to think. They had to look at their core convictions. They had to ask the question. Well, some people say he's Elijah. Some people say he's John the Baptist. Some people say he's kind of a prophet. What do I really believe? And it's interesting because in the question, and this is another mark of a good question, it doesn't seem like Jesus is actually assuming any kind of answer. He simply says, who do people say that I am? It's wide open. It's an open-ended question. That's a good kind of question. He doesn't seem to assume anything. But he asks what matters. Do they realize who he is? Do they realize that he's the Son of God come to teach them what it is to live according to how God wants them to live? Do the disciples know that? And he simply asks the question. And then Peter says, you're the Messiah. He affirms that. Another place where Jesus asks some questions. Luke chapter 10. 25 to 28, that's page 771 in the Black and Orange Bible. Luke 10, 25 to 28. On one occasion, an expert in the law, that's the Jewish law, the rules of how to live according to how God wants you to live. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Good questions expose what's underneath by prompting reflection and exposing motivations. It's very interesting. The guy gets up and the text says, and he wanted to test Jesus, so he asked him. And later on he said, but wanting to justify himself, he asked this question. And Jesus, he picks up on that, and he realizes, I'm not going to play this game. I'm going to ask a question that actually prompts reflection and tries to dig under the surface like a shovel and expose the motivation of the person who's asking the question. So Jesus, as he often does, responds to a question with a question, which I think, if it were me, would be really frustrating. I asked you a question, like, give me an answer. But he says, no, I'm going to give you another question instead. And he knew that would expose the motivation of the person who was asking. He redirects the man and he asks him simply, well, what does the law say? How do you read it? Because in his response, he will start to think about what it means to live the kind of life that God wants to live. Jesus is letting him figure it out for himself. A good question simply directs a person's own thought process and helps them discover something for themselves. And then Jesus simply affirms the man's response. Jesus assumes that the man actually has something to say. He's not just waiting to download a whole bunch of information. Well, you've asked a question. Let me give you the response. Here's everything I know. He assumes that the man has something to say that's worthwhile. He encourages dialogue, and he helps reveal the man's motivations. Good questions expose motivation and prompt reflection. So maybe you're thinking, okay, I get how questions can be good, and I've seen the power of questions in my own life. But the fact is, I'm not really a good question answer. I'm not a good question asker. And maybe there's a number of things that we struggle with. I mean, first on my list, when I think of asking good questions, there's the fear of offense, right? You think, if I ask that question, if I kind of prod them with this kind of question, maybe they're going to get upset at me because they don't want me to go there. And it's true that in certain circumstances, when you know people very little, maybe they would get offended. But in deeper relationships, in relationships that are of more value to both you and the other person, do you have the courage to actually ask the question? Fear of offense is one barrier that I often struggle with. The second one is, I often even don't know what to ask. I often don't even know what to say, let alone can I formulate a question. People will come to my office and they will sit down in the chair and they will say what's going on in their lives. They'll say what's true for them. And I actually often don't know what to say. It may surprise you to know that I'm much better with written words than with spoken words. Sometimes I just need a pen and a paper to formulate my thoughts, and I'd have to write it down. Often in the moment, I simply don't know what to say, let alone ask a good question. And that's okay, too. If you remember the story of Job, who lost everything, and he's sitting in the ashes, and some friends come, and they sit with him for 7 days and don't say anything. And then as soon as they open their mouth, the whole thing falls apart. Sometimes it's good to just say nothing. But if you have something to say, you might experience the tension between advice and guidance. You notice what Jesus does. The man asks him a question in the second story, and he simply asks a question in return that prompts the man to think further and formulate a response for himself. Often, for me personally, and maybe this is true for you, I'm a fixer. So if someone says, here's my situation. They didn't ask for my advice, but I'm very happy to give it to them. I'll tell you everything you need to do to fix your life. Just listen to me. And there's this tension between all the advice, because it's very evident where this person's messed up and how they should turn their life around, and actually asking the question. And asking the question is harder, but it's often more worthwhile. But asking the question takes time. It's that standing at the end of the driveway, putting your trash bins out, and your neighbor walks across the street and starts engaging you in conversation, and you know that there's something that's on their heart that's burdening them. And you know the kind of question you should ask, maybe, and you think it's a really good question, but, oh man, dinner's on the stove, I gotta get inside. I simply don't have the time, because that kind of dialogue takes time. Do you really feel like you have the time? So those are some of the barriers to asking good questions. But would I encourage you to ask the question? That doesn't make some of these barriers easier, but would you have the courage to ask the question? Would you embrace the power of a good question? For those of us who in this room are seeking a mentor, would you find a good question asker? And would you commit to answering their questions honestly? Like John said in the video, sometimes the question, sometimes what they're speaking the truth of will hurt. I have a close relationship with a fellow pastor in the city, and we sit down and we're honest with each other. And I remember going into the relationship, Bob Marsh, who's one of the pastors here, who's also a mentor of mine, said to me, to get the most out of this relationship, here's the one thing you got to do. I know you don't know this guy all that well, but you know him well enough that you've trusted him, invited him into this mentoring relationship with you. He said, be as honest as you possibly can right up front, because you're only going to get out of the relationship as much as you're willing to be honest and reveal yourself. So find someone who's a good question asker and have the courage to actually be honest with yourself and with them in the response to the question. For those of us who are seeking to be a mentor, dare to ask the good question, to take the time, to get over your fear of offense. Embrace the power of a good question. It's the single strongest, I would say, the single strongest tool that you have in your toolbox as a mentor is to learn how to ask good questions. And I think for all of us here today, Embrace the power of a good question by engaging with the questions of Jesus. Jesus has a whole bunch of questions all throughout the record of his life and teaching that we could benefit from if we honestly heard the question and responded. Maybe if you're here this morning and you're not actually sure about Jesus, you haven't made that commitment, how would you respond to the question, "Who do you say that I am?" That's a valuable question that we should sit under and wonder about. And even if we've made that commitment, how would we respond, those of us who have made that commitment to follow Jesus, how would we respond to the, "Who do you say that I am?" How would we explain who Jesus is to maybe someone who's asking? So I'd encourage you simply to embrace the power of a good question, because a good question, I know in my life, and maybe it's been true for you, a good question has been what's turned my life from going in one direction to going in another direction, because someone simply has taken the time to ask that kind of